Thank you and good morning. An autopsy will be scheduled in the coming days to determine the cause of death of a 61-year-old man who was found dead in Humboldt Bay in the area around Indian Island on Monday morning. Emergency personnel responded to the scene after receiving a 911 call from a man who reported his friend was in the water and he was unable to get him out. The Coast Guard launched a boat and pulled the victim from the water, and he was transferred to an ambulance and taken to the emergency room at St. Joseph's Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. All signs at this juncture point to an accidental death, and the investigation into the cause is ongoing. The identity of the victim is being withheld, pending notification of next of kin. The Board of Supervisors meets this morning, and the key agenda items will revolve around funding and budget issues. The board will hear an afternoon presentation from CAO Philip Smith Haynes regarding the impacts Governor Brown's proposed budget will have on Humboldt County. Smith Haynes will also update the board on the formation of the Citizens Committee that will provide public input for how the money generated from Measure Z will be allocated. The goal is to get that committee formed within the next 3 weeks so that they can take part in the budget process for the next fiscal year. One of the first steps involved in the implementation of Measure Z is the execution of an agreement between the county and the State Board of Equalization for the collection of the tax and any administrative fees and costs the state will incur for that collection, up to but not to exceed $175,000. The supervisors are expected to approve the agreement today and authorize the CAO to enter into the contract. The new half-cent sales tax goes into effect on April 1st. The board will also endorse a letter to be sent to Congress outlining its support for a resumption of payments under the Secure Rural Schools Act, funding that was left out of the last federal spending bill. Two other items from the agenda include the ongoing resolution of a state of emergency related to drought, which keeps the emergency declaration alive for the next 28 days, and the board is also expected to resolve that retired County Emergency Services Director Dan Larkin is necessary to fill that critical need as a retired annuitant, and that his continued employment by the county is temporary. Reservoirs on the North Coast may be full, but drought remains a concern for officials across California as well as the West. Ken Morgan with the North Coast Ag Report has more.
According to National Water Resources Association Executive Vice President Robert Johnson, current climate models suggest reduced water supplies in the West due to long-term droughts. Johnson says solutions take time and major infrastructure projects take 20 to 30 years to develop, but they also take cooperation, creativity, and leadership. As climate change comes, California Farm Bureau Federation President Paul Wenger says adaptation must occur. That's the North Coast Ag Report. I'm Ken Morgan.
Officials and representatives with the State Water Resources Control Board are hosting regional meetings, including a meeting and workshop scheduled for Thursday in Redding. You're listening to KINS North Coast News. We'll be right back after this.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
You're listening to KINS News and Information. One aspect of the underground marijuana cultivation market that gets overlooked in our region is the danger it can present to firefighters when responding to a residential fire at a house that's been converted into a grow house. Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods highlighted some of the dangers firefighters and fire commanders on scene must deal with when they arrive at a fire located in a grow house.
Not every building is the same. Not every situation is the same. We try to go out, pre-plan, get into buildings, see what's there. But, you know, just when you're looking at the outside of a structure, particularly when we have a fire, you add the smoke component to it. You add the excitement of the fire itself. Particularly in our area, with the number of drug growing houses that we have, they look like a residence from the outside, but on the inside, they are not.
Always expect the unexpected is the essence of Wood's comments, because when a residence has been changed internally to accommodate a marijuana grow, you can never be sure what you will encounter.
They're partitioned off. There could be coverings over the windows, plastic vents, wiring, all those types of things, grow lights that are hanging down. And what you would expect to be a normal house, you can't see your hand in front of your face when you go into a fire. All of a sudden, you're tangled up in these types of things. It's not furniture, what you expect. It's a totally different environment, and that's very hazardous to our firefighters. Don't be surprised by what you find.
Electrical wiring is another big concern for fire crews as well, Wood said, particularly in the grow houses where the work is not done to code and just thrown together haphazardly. And that's the news on this Tuesday morning. For KINS News and Information, I'm Dan Squire.